Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
I am excited. I just love how God does this. Hannah gets up and starts talking about the blood still speaks. And, you know, I just want you to know God still speaks. God still speaks. And the Lord uses his word to speak to us. And so I know that a lot of us can just come to church and be like, oh man, we have to sit under the preaching. I understand the preaching is probably the most boring part of church unless the word is why you came. And if the word is why you came, then you don't have to be entertained to receive and walk out of here building a life that God's called you to build. The Bible calls the Bible the word of God. And in his word, it carries all of the authority and the power that we need to function in life. Now, I watched all the time growing up, and I don't know if you had an example like this in your home, but I watched my grandfather every time I was at his house growing up. And when Michelle and I were a few years into our marriage, we moved over and moved in with my grandfather, and I watched him in his word all the time. He kept it on a little computer, and before that, he'd keep it by his chair when I was growing up. And every morning, I'd get up, and there was Grandpa with a cup of coffee reading the Word. When I got older and had kids, I'd go in, and Grandpa would be sitting there by his computer, and the computer would be on, and he'd be sitting there with a mandolin in his hand singing, or he'd be in his Word. And the other part of the time, he'd be sitting in his chair at the computer, he'd be going, I can't figure any of this out. That computer just didn't bring what the word brought to him. And so I want you to know that I don't know that I would be following the Lord at this day and age had it not been for watching that example in my grandfather. And then realizing that I needed what he saw as important. And now Grandpa's not here, but I see that I need it without Grandpa. And I want you to know that you may have had that example in your life of someone who saw the word as important, but maybe you're not quite there and you don't see it as significant as my grandfather saw it, or that some of us hopefully here today can see it. But I want to ask you, how many of you know someone who that impacted your life? I mean, I saw that. I saw the word impact their life, and I watched the power of God work in their life, and I just wish that I could have that in my life. I want you to know that a word from God can change your whole life. Some of you remember, it's been years ago, like over 15 years ago, a guy by the name of Tim Tebow. Anybody heard that name? When he was in college, he was a football player, and he got saved. He wanted to make an impact for Jesus, and he had come to know Christ and wanted to do something really big for him. And he wanted to impact as many people as he could. So he was just asking the Lord, Lord, give me something to tell him. And God said, I've already given you everything you need. See, there's not going to be a new word that God's going to give you. He's already given you his word. And so he was asking God for that. And then as he was in the word, he had an idea. And I believe it was a God-inspired idea. And I don't know if you remember this. Some of you aren't old enough to, but I want to give you something that happened. You know those black marks or stickers, if you will, that football players will put under their eye? And they do that to keep the light out of their eyes so it will soak up the light and not cause a glare, from what I understand. I've never worn them. But they want to be able to see a pass, throw a pass, catch a pass, so they wear these black things, these patches under their eyes. Well, he took those black patches and he wrote John on one side and 316 on the other for the national championship game in 2009. It was a big deal. It was a really big deal. 94 million people in the next 24 hours, search that verse. See, just, God, just give me a word. I already did. Paint it on you. Do whatever you need to do, but get the word out, because your word is not going to make a difference. My word makes all the difference. And so when he was asking for something big, God, I just need to know what to do. He's already told you. And I'm making this a big deal because, so what if God would just give you one word and change the trajectory of your life? Our whole vision this year is building life. Well, I want you to know that one word in an area where you haven't been functioning well can change the whole trajectory of your life and build a life that God wants you to have. How many times have you been walking through a difficult season? You know, some of you mature in the word, mature in Christ. God used a scripture at some point in your life to comfort you. You needed an answer. You didn't know what decision to make, and you just stood on that word because you couldn't figure it out on your own, but I just got this one word. Maybe it was a job that you needed. Maybe it was a big purchase. Maybe it was a big life decision, and God used a scripture or a passage in scripture. Maybe he placed it in a sermon and you heard it on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or maybe as you were listening to a podcast. See, what you have to know is we're created just as Adam and Eve were created. We're God's creation. Now, I know that you had a parent that God used, but you have been created to be in communication with God. That's why he created you. He wanted communion, if you will, with him. Walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden. You'd read about this in Genesis. You're like, well, that'd be cool. Well, you can have that today. See, he desires that with you, and he has already spoke enough for every year of your life, every month of every day, every minute of your life. The word has already been given to you. Please hear me today. See, one word from God has the power to change your life and allow you to build something way better than what you could do in and of yourself. And it can be way more impactful than you could ever imagine. It settles who you are. It settles what you're doing. It settles where you're going. It's a big deal. Now, Luke chapter 3, verse 21. As I was going through this, this verse has just blown up to me. And I wanted to read it today. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." See, God from heaven speaks to Jesus at his baptism. Now I want you to see this, because you got to see it. All the disciples are standing around. John's followers are there. Crowds had been following John all over, and Jesus gets closer, and I want to read exactly what God said. John chapter 1, verse 29. Let's read from another gospel. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look," this is John talking, "look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John announces the Messiah, guys, is here. They understood that the Messiah was coming. And all of a sudden, John makes this announcement. Can you imagine what was being said in the crowd when John said that? Did I hear him right? Did he just say? And they heard right. And he comes out of the water and God speaks directly to Jesus and they all heard it. And I'm just thinking, yeah, I did hear right, because that was God. I mean, how could you have done that? That was a day and time where they didn't have electronic speakers, but it was just like this speaker system. I can imagine it. "Hey, guys, I want you to know that's my son." No, he didn't say, "Hey, guys." He said to Jesus, "You're my son." He spoke directly to him. And I just think about things, and why did God have to say this to Jesus? Have you ever thought about it? Did Jesus not know he was the Son of God? I guess God said it, so I guess I am. Did Jesus need that confirmation? No, of course he knew. His love relationship with God was secure. He knew God loved him. Jesus knew his destiny. He wasn't insecure in who he was in the Lord. So why did he need the Father to say, "You're my son, who I love, and I'm well pleased with"? Here's what I think. Maybe two reasons. Jesus had lost his earthly dad, and he knew what it was like to lose a father figure, and he knew what it felt like to be orphaned somewhat. I mean, he had Mary, but his dad was gone. So I can think maybe he needed God to confirm, "Hey, all is good. You're all right." That may have been what it was. So I can think just maybe he needed God to confirm that. But the second thing, and the main one, I think, is God wanted everyone else to hear. Him speaking directly to his son. Because it set in motion history and all that history now has affected as we look back and see this time. Psalm 119, verse 28. "I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word." Another translation says, "My soul melts from heaviness." Heaviness. "Strengthen me according to your word." I want you to know this morning, we've all had times that we're heavy, we're weighted down, we've been sorrowful for many things. We've got stuff in our life that we just don't know how to handle. I love the psalmist's writing. "Encourage me, strengthen me." And how is he asking it to be done? By your word. By your word. When you're down and out, you want to be up and in. I mean, things aren't going well for you. And you're down and out. And I'm just telling you, a word from God can turn things around for you emotionally. It can. I've had it happen. And so I want to ask you today, are you walking right now through anxiety? There's a word in Scripture for you. Yeah. If you're just in need of some peace, there's a word in Scripture for you. Maybe you've been sick or have a diagnosis that's been handed to you, I want you to know there's a word in Scripture for you. Maybe you've lost a relationship and you're hurting, there's a word in Scripture for you. People labor under heavy burdens, the heaviness of life, problems in life that seem insurmountable. And I'm telling you, God has a word for you to start building life again. Sometimes all you need is, "I got you. I got you. I got you. I don't know how you're going, I got you." The only power the enemy has is what you give to him. So we need a word. We need a word. God wants to strengthen you by the written word. And I believe the prophetic word set in unity with the written word, which is exactly what I did, can build life, and it never would be built without it. See, the word builds life. God wants to strengthen you. A word from God can build your life. A word from God can heal you. Psalm 107, verse 20. "He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death." Very similar to what Jesus did in Matthew 18. You remember the centurion soldier coming up and saying, Jesus said, "Hey, I need my son healed." He was telling Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll go with you right now. And you remember what was said? The centurion said, No. "You don't even have to go. Just speak the word. If you'll just speak the word, my son will be healed." Come on, there's power in the word that you need to hear. Somebody needs to hear this, that goes exactly where it needs to go faster than you get in a car and get there, faster you can walk there. The word of God is instant, and it's not held by time or distance. It's a big deal. He knew the power of the word. That's why we pray for people. We believe there's power in the word. There's power in prayer, in the name of Jesus. The reason people will say "in the name of Jesus" is because they're using his name, they're using his authority to accomplish his will. Don't use "in the name of Jesus" without backing it up with his word, because it's in the name of Jesus that the word has power. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, I speak peace over you. Come on, we'll have a prayer team come up here at the end, and when they do, and you need some prayer, in the name of Jesus, come on, prayer team, that's what we'll say. In the name of Jesus, you just say what it is that the enemy's trying to attack you on. It's already been taken care of, and in the name of Jesus, peace is in your life. In the name of Jesus, healing takes place. What we're saying is Jesus said it once, and if he said it once, it's still being said today. It just needs to come out of your mouth. Grab it and say it again. It has just as much power. I want to prove this to you and show you some of what I'm talking about today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You got to get this. The word proceeds is not past tense. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but you need to. Here is what I mean. He didn't say every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. How cool is that? Because that had left it in the past and wouldn't be anything for us today. He said proceeds, every word that proceeds presently. He spoke then, he's speaking now, and he is speaking in your future. It's a good deal. God still speaks. Would it help anyone if I told you God wants to talk to you? Some of you are like, no, I've been called to the principal's office enough. I'm not talking about he wants to talk to you about all that you've done wrong. He's wanting to talk to you about all that he's made available for you to do right. The word of God is about him talking to you, and he desires a walking and talking relationship. The word of God could be a sword to you to cut through some things. See, you got some things going on in your life. I love this sword. I've used it several times. I will always use it because the word of God has to be proclaimed here. Yeah. The word of God is like a sword. And when it comes out of your mouth, it's going to be effective. It's going to be big. See, the word of God could be a sword for you to cut through some of the things that are holding you right now. Now think about it. If the word of God is a sword, and the sword is built and strengthened by all the scripture that you know, how big and strong is your sword? Well, I got a pocket knife right now. Which one would you rather be hit with? Well, both of them would hurt, but this one right here would take care of business. So we don't think about this a lot because we come to church and we think, well, I got some word today. And I want you to know in the spirit realm, carrying the sword of the spirit is a big deal. Yeah. We fight the world, we fight the flesh, we fight the devil with scripture, with the word of God. That's how we fight. And so I have to think like Jesus did in Matthew 4. When the enemy was trying to get him, he whooped him with scripture. Yeah. That's how Jesus did it. When you don't know any scripture, you're having a hard time whooping the enemy. I've seen it time and time again. So I'm thinking, okay, if Jesus had scripture for everything Satan threw at him, and that's how he defeated him, then that's what we have to do. Yeah. We've got to get scripture for everything that is defeating you. It's got to happen. Jesus had a scripture. I don't want to know it's there. I want it memorized and inside of me. I want to know it's there. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, that's scripture that everybody here knows. Why do you hide your word, his word, in your heart? This is not a hard question. So you won't sin. It's deeper than just memorizing, it's meditating it. It's chewing on it, it's living on it. It's thinking it of it over and over again. In your house, on the road, when you get up, when you go to bed, so that when you need to pull the sword, you're pulling a sword and not a dull knife. So we've got to be knowing that it's what I live, it's what's inside. It's getting real close to lunch. I don't know if any of y'all are hungry, but there's not much better for a meal than a good steak. Come on, anybody testify? A good old big juicy steak. Some of you like no blood. I'm like, put a little bit in there. Chew on it. You're enjoying it. And it's sitting right in front of you. Nobody gets that thing in you just as fast as you can. You're chewing it up and enjoying the flavor and every bite. Because, see, it's going right next to some taste buds. By the way, God gave you those. And they gave them to you so you can enjoy. And then it gets down in you and your body enjoys it because it produces the nutrients and things that you need. And here's what you need to know. You don't eat, you die. So eating's a good thing, right? It's the same thing with the Word of God. You don't eat and you wonder why you're facing death in situations. Wow. You don't just read the Word at face value and the history of it. Here's what happened. That's kind of interesting for all you history buffs. But you read it and let it speak to you. See, you get some revelation, a surprising, previously unknown fact. That's what revelation is. It was revealed to me. And I was just, whoa, I didn't know it. It's not that it wasn't there. It's just that you didn't know it. It was revealed to you. It's just like, oh, all of a sudden, the lights went out. That wasn't on purpose. But I'm just, all of a sudden, I have revelation. How did I get revelation? Because all of a sudden, I became aware of a fact that I wasn't aware of before. And that fact happened, and the lights come on. And it's just like, how perfect. I didn't plan that. It's revelation. But here's the problem. A lot of people have revelation and they know it says it in the Word, but they don't get transformation.
Right. Wow.
It's been revealed to you, but why hasn't it transformed your life yet? Because you haven't taken the Word and allowed it to be transforming. That's your part. As God has revealed it to you, you have to then go and let it transform you. Matthew 4, verse 3. When the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You've got to get that verse in you. There's so much there. We just said it. We're saying it again. We'll say it again. We'll say it again. You can't live by bread alone. You can't live by steak alone. See, it's not about building up your physical life. It's about building your spiritual life so your spiritual life will override your physical life. You can't just come to church on Sunday, hear 4 or 5 verses, and think that's going to make it through your week. I'm telling you, by Wednesday, you're going to be in sin. In some area, because we need strength and power from the Word of God every day. You got to get some daily time in. Get alone with God. Get into Scripture. Build your life. I want you to know that we feed babies, we spoon feed them, right?
Yeah.
Quit spoon feeding yourself and get you a fork. Let's get in there and get some. We have it available. I want to talk about one other thing, my last thought today. The Word of God is the breath of God. The Word of God is the breath of God. The reason the Word of God is so powerful, it's like God is breathing into us fresh life. When God created everything in Genesis, the Bible says, God said, and then it was. God said, and then here's what happened. God said, every breath that God said something with, things were created that would sustain life, and then he created us.
Yeah.
And he did that with the same breath that created everything else, and he created us with his words. And so then we're created beings placed in everything else that he said. So everything's about his breath. It was all his breath. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is not just a book with a bunch of books and stories in it. It's God talking. And life is created when he starts talking. Life is sustained when he starts talking. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I know you've all heard this verse probably most of your life. If you haven't, pay really close attention. But God is the reason you're breathing. Okay, you say, well, okay, I agree with that. I'm in church. I want to honor God. I'll agree with that. Here's what I want you to know. If you take your breath away, you're gone. You're not here anymore. Our breath is borrowed from God. He put it in us. See, we think we're in charge of our own life, but you take your breath away and you'll find out how quick you're not in charge. God's breath was given to us to live. And then in John 20, Jesus is speaking. This is really big. John 20, verse 22, it says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus did exactly what God, he breathed on them and said, receive. So not only is the Word of God the breath of God, but the Holy Spirit was given by the breath of God. We need the fresh breath of God. Has anyone here ever found yourself desperate for just, God, I need one word from you? And that's based on your life circumstances. Just God, just one sentence, just one phrase, just one whisper. I believe inside every one of us there is a deep down desire for fulfillment. And the only thing that will fill that is a relationship with God. I believe that with all that I am. I want to ask you something today. The Jesus you grew up with, was it a Jesus that had a bunch of rules and regulations, and no matter how hard you tried, you just seemed like you could never please him? That may have been some of you that grew up with that definition and that person as how you saw him. Or was it a Jesus that loved you so much you just couldn't resist him? He wants his breath to give you life. A life to live by. What happens is we try to live a certain way in life to get his breath. Wow. Hear this. We need his fresh breath in our life every day to then build life. But we've got so many people trying to build life and then asking for his breath. That's why a lot of people grew up with the Jesus with all these rules and regulations. If I do this, I'll get his breath. No, you get his breath, and then you can build life. And then they're not rules and regulations. They're an exciting new way to live. Right. Not mad at everybody else for not doing it. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
See, you can't catch your breath in life at times, and it's a scary deal. Have you ever struggled to catch your breath? I don't know if anybody has a story like that. I've got a horrible one. It was scary. I was learning to rope. And so I had bought a horse that wasn't well trained. And I thought, I can handle it. It's no problem. And I'm over at a friend's house, and I backed into the area that the horse is right beside the chute that the calf's released. And I had my rope, and I'm thinking, I'm going to do this. And they released that calf. I started spinning that rope. And I don't know, I just didn't think about it, but a horse needs to be aware there's a rope spinning by his head. And I hadn't trained him for that. But I knew I could get out of the gate pretty fast. So we took off out of the gate. The calf's going, I'm getting ready to throw the rope. And next thing you know, I'm probably 3 or 4 stories in the air in my mind. I was told later by everybody there, including my wife, that I just fell off. That's not what I was 3 or 4 stories in the air, and I remember hitting the ground, and I landed on my side, and I was breathless. And I also remember everybody laughing. And I'm like, I'm dying. I couldn't say it. I didn't have any breath. And I'm like, does no one here know you can't live without breath? It is a big deal. The body can only survive about 3 minutes without air before you lose consciousness, and I was close. Brain damage occurs around 4 to 6 minutes. That's not very long. Death happens in 6 to 8 minutes. It's shocking to me that we could be dead in 6 to 8 minutes without air. And here's the thing. I watch Christians starving themselves from the Word of God. And what I'm finding is there's a lot of brain-damaged Christians because they've just starved themselves so long. They haven't had enough air. They haven't had the breath of God, not enough of the Word. And I just want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. I hope today that I'm stirring something up inside of you, a hunger for the presence of God on a daily basis, and the Word that will be what we start eating. We just need a fresh Word. Come on, are you getting this? I remember laying on the ground that day after the horse incident, and I remember not losing consciousness and me going, I mean, it was a little bit at a time. And I was like, I'm not dead. It's slowly coming back. And that 2 minutes and 59 seconds was a long time. And I remember that breath starting to come back, and I'm just thinking, this is the most important thing in the world to me right now. Wow. Yeah. I just remember, everybody else can laugh. I'm going to die without your breath. I'm going to have to breathe. Because without it, they're going to laugh me right to the funeral home. This is not going to be. But I wasn't even thinking about them. I just remember seeing them laugh, and then I'm like, I'm dying. But when that breath started to come back, I was like, oh, I can make it. I'm gonna make it. And I get up and I said, you bunch of jerks, what were you thinking? I'm dying out there. No, I didn't say that. I'm like, it's all good, but I'm selling the horse and I ain't ever roping again. And that's exactly what I did. It's not for me. I'm not talented enough, obviously. I remember at 8 years of age, me catching a word from God. It was the first one I really caught. We had a guest preacher. Everything I'd studied up until the age of 8 was just history lessons from the Word. A lot of them on what they called a felt board. Remember felt boards? Yeah. I remember the basket and placing it there with Moses and all the things. I mean, the felt board just gave me a lot of stories. But I remember at 8 catching a word, Brother Murdaugh preaching. And I remember him sharing different scriptures from the Word. And I'm telling you, they got in me. And I was like, I needed that word. I needed everything that was there. I had watched my grandfather and it had affected his life. And I'm like, it will affect mine. I'd watched my mom. It had affected her life. It would affect mine. I've watched people that were friends of theirs. It had affected their life, but it had never affected mine. And I remember listening to Brother Murdaugh preach and I was thinking, okay, what's he have to say? He had me all interested. And I remember him going to several scriptures. And let me just give you a few of them that I'm kind of thinking at this time spoke to me because I've remembered them forever. John 3:16. Come on, how many know that verse? Praise God. How many had revelation from that verse? I won't ask this, but I'm praying that you're here and you've been transformed into salvation because of that verse. You can have that verse revealed to you and still deny. But when you accept that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, they don't perish. They have eternal life. See, we've all sinned and not measured up to God's standard of right living. We can't build the life on our own. I remember Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of God's glory, the glory of God. God has a glorious thing about him that we ought to be in awe of. But we are all not able to get there. Sin is doing anything that you know is wrong, and everyone except Jesus has sinned. This verse is a big deal. And then the Bible talked about a price for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, that means there's a price on it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, our Lord. That's it. That's it. So there's a price for sin. The death is both spiritual and eternal. No one can be saved from this death by good works or by being a good person. The only way to be saved from the penalty of sin is for a wage to be paid. That's it. It has to be paid by a wage. See, God sent his son, died on a cross to pay the wage that was needed for sin. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to Father God except through me. That's the only way. See, Jesus provided the only sufficient payment for sin by dying on the cross years ago. He took it on himself to take all the punishment for all the sin. We just got to come to God, inviting Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him out of the grave, from the grave, out of death, you can be saved. Yeah. That's a big deal. I remember that one more than any of them because I thought, I have hope. And it ain't in me. It's in Jesus. I have hope. How many of you remember the day you started building your life because you got saved? Here's the problem. Most people saved know one or most of those verses. You might not know right where they're at, but you could have just went ahead and said them after I started them. I get that. Here's the problem. That's the last breath you had. And you wonder why life's falling apart. It's got to be bigger. You need a fresh word every day to build the life that God has for you. You need revelation and then you need transformation. A fresh word from God can change a messed up life. It can take the wickedness of sin and immediately turn it around for you. You've got to get to a place where you're not just living on this little thing. I'm saved. I'm saved. Anxiety, you got nothing on me. Condemnation, you have nothing on me. See, the word of God. Well, what's the word? Because you can sit here and take a sword and I can hand it to everybody and you can show me how strong you are. Or you can quote a scripture based on where you're at. Here's what I didn't do. I didn't say, okay, here's the scripture for anxiety. Here's the scripture for your financial situation. Here's your scripture for your marriage. Here's your scriptures for what's going on with your kids. Here's your scripture for what's happening at work. Here's your scripture for having no money and never having any. Here's your scripture. See, I know that there's a whole bunch of issues. What I'm telling you is there's a word of God for every one of them. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can live a life of abundance. But you can't if you don't breathe.
Yeah. So good.
The word of God is breath for your life. Yeah. And you need it to get the right sword to take care of these situations. Whatever it is. So today, here's what I'm going to tell you. And it's a real easy deal because we live in a day and age where you can find this way easier than it used to be. Google scripture for anxiety. And it'll give you 10 to 20, sometimes 40 or 50 of them. Read through those scriptures and put that everywhere you need it. That gets me when I'm going to bed at night. All right, well then put it on your toothpaste. Hopefully you brush your teeth. But you need some scripture for everything that's going on. You've got to get it in you. You've got to start meditating it. You've got to get it as revelation that this isn't get me. This is not getting me. No, I'm not. This is not going to take me. It's not taking me out. This is not going. I know what happened to you as a child, and I'm sorry. Are you going to let that keep affecting you?
Wow.
Or are you going to say I'm an overcomer? I'm everything the word says, and that's not holding me not one day longer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to live trying to prove I'm right because my words mess me up. I'm only going to speak the word of God,
yeah.
And that's going to fight every battle for me.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.